even Justin's like, what is your problem? Like, what's wrong with you right now? Why are you so excited about these erasers? And I was just like, I will tell you later. I just felt like I wanted to be in that moment of just like pure connectedness and like joy. And like, I just felt like this is real. Like, how does this happen? You know?
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. As of right now, it's just me as your host. Michaela's up taking care of Tegan. Had a little emergency trying to get him down. But she'll be joining us here in a few minutes. But we have Sarah here with us. We are so excited. Probably, how long ago did you reach out to me, Sarah? Was it a month and a half ago, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was month and a half.
So yeah, Sarah wrote to us and was kind of telling us a little bit about her story. She was a little unsure if she wanted to come on and, well, to be honest, this is all really kind of fresh, so I'm really honored that you feel comfortable enough to share it with us, and I'm sure it's still difficult, and anyway, hopefully we can help a little bit. I know that talking and trying to get through things that way helps a little bit, and hopefully being able to listen to some episodes and stuff has been able to help, and so yeah, so maybe you can help others as well. And yeah, so Sarah, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having me, by the way. It is pretty fresh, but I feel like talking about it is, for me, it's therapeutic, and it feels like I feel comfortable talking about it right now. It was definitely really hard in the beginning, but I've learned that the more I talk about it, it's like more of like a weight sort of lifts off me. And I think sharing my story is, I just feel like it's not just my story, it's Whitney's story too. So, but yeah, I want to kind of get into why I'm here and what we're going to talk about. So I got pregnant with our daughter, Whitney, in February. We found out we were pregnant. She was our second. We have a son right now. He's 2.5. And we were really, really surprised and really excited because we have had fertility complications for a long time. It took us a really long time to get our son. Very rough road for sure to get to that point. And we had some interventions to get, you know, to have him in our life. So we just kind of figured, you know, it's unlikely, you know, it's going to happen naturally for us because, you know, we had to go, like I said, go through some fertility stuff. So, but it ended up happening with Whitney and we were super excited. We were like, oh, that's awesome. You know, we were talking about whether or not we wanted a second child and we were on the fence about it. I personally just like felt this, I really just didn't want to go through all the fertility stuff again, like the ups and downs and the disappointment and the stress that it caused me and our marriage. And I just didn't want that to affect our, you know, our relationship with each other and with Robbie. And I just wanted to make sure I'm still going to be the best mom for Robbie and didn't want to add that extra stress to us as a family. So when we found out we were pregnant, we were super excited. I was like, I don't have to go through that again. I'm just like gonna, you know, focus on this pregnancy. I was really guarded still going into it, but every appointment checked out and everything was good and you reach all these milestones, everything looks good. But there's always just like this little thing in the back of my mind. And with pregnancies, it's just kind of like, you never feel fully in the clear until you have them in your arms. And, every milestone, I just felt like I could pull my guard down a little bit more and more and more. And then, we got to the anatomy scan. Everything looked great. Robbie, our son, came out 10 pounds, 2 ounces. So I was like, I want to make sure. I want to know ahead of time. Like, can we get like a growth scan? I have some idea of how big this baby might be because I don't know. I don't know. I just want to have a heads up this time because I didn't have any clue going into my labor with Robbie. So I, went in for the growth scan, and that was at 33 weeks. And they wrote me a note, and they sent me a note back, and they said, she looks great. Growth looks normal. Like, she's, everything checks out. Everything's good. And I don't know. I think part of me asking for that growth scan is just like, I need that extra reassurance. Like, you always just want that extra, like, just consistent reassurance that everything's fine. But everybody was telling me everything's good. Everything's fine. I went to the growth scan. Everything looked good. I felt pretty confident, just going through the, just thinking about just getting all the final touches for the nursery and all everything washed and folded and ready for her arrival. I got to the 34 week mark. And I was just, it was like halfway into my 34th week. And it was a Friday, and I was just so busy that day. I was running around, running errands, and going to the store, and just on my feet all day long. And I was thinking to myself, like, towards the end of the day, I thought it was kind of funny that I didn't really feel her moving, but I was kind of brushed it off. I'm like, well, I was really busy today, so I'm probably overthinking it. She was probably moving, but I wasn't really picking up on it because I was busy and just focused on a lot of other things that I was taking care of that day. And I was like, well, I'll feel her at night. I'll feel her when I get in bed. It's like every night I lay down, I feel her moving around. And that's when I really like connect with her. And, I laid down Friday night and I was just kind of waiting for her to move and I still didn't feel anything. And I'm like, okay, this is just strange. But, I got out my Doppler and I checked her heartbeat. I found her heartbeat. I counted the beats per minute. Everything was normal. And she was still in her like normal 140 to 144 range. And I was just like, okay, that's reassuring to me. Maybe she was moving all day and I didn't notice it because I was busy. So I was like, maybe she's just tired because she was active and I didn't pick up on it. And I'm like, I'll feel her in the morning if she's okay. And then the next morning I was laying in bed. It was like 5 a.m. And usually right when I wake up, that's when I start feeling her stir around too. And, I woke up and I was just like, I'm still just not feeling her. Like, this is really weird. Like, that's when my kind of like alarm bell started to go off that like, this is just, there's definitely just something wrong here because I feel like I should feel her move now because I haven't really felt her now for about, since yesterday, at least last night. So luckily it was a Saturday. So my husband was already home and I told him, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go to Roseville, which is like our closest hospital. It's like an hour drive. So, I was like, I'm just going to go there. I'm going to come back. I'll just be back in a few hours. Like, it's probably nothing. I'm probably just making a big deal of nothing. But there was just like something in my mind that was like, something doesn't feel right. Like on the surface, I think I was just like subconsciously thinking that I don't think in the moment that's what I was feeling, but like looking back, I feel like I knew something was wrong, but like, I just was burying that like fear really deep. So I was just like, I'm just gonna go in, I'll be right back. And I kissed Robbie, I kissed Justin, and I left and just like listening to music and trying to like wake her up and just kind of thinking, I'm going to go in and they're just going to be like, you're crazy. Like, here, she's fine. You know, because I actually did that with Robbie. I went in feeling like I'm not feeling him move during certain times. And as soon as I got there, he just started like bouncing off, like just going crazy. And so I was just like, okay, this is going to be a repeat of that. I know that that's like probably the case because most of the time everything's fine. You know, like you don't hear about this anything like bad happening, you know, your worst fear coming true. So, so I got in the parking lot and I went inside and I went to the, like the triage, labor and delivery triage, and told them like, hey, you know, I called them ahead of time and let them know I was coming. And I said, hey, I'm here. Like, my name is Sarah, and gave them my information. They got me a room, and then a nurse came in and she was with somebody, and like, I think it was a student or something. And, she got her equipment out and got me set up, and she like, she goes, oh, she's moving. And she, what she did was she like put this, like she put the thing on my stomach, and it literally, it felt like she did like Whitney just kind of like flopped. And I was like, oh, okay, well maybe that was her actually moving, you know? But she's like, oh yeah. At first she was like, she's moving, there she is. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I knew that was going to happen. You know, it was going to be, she's going to start moving around all the time, like the whole time I'm here now. But, and then I started talking to the student because she made me kind of like have this reassurance in that moment. And he was like asking me how my morning was going. And she's like, I need you guys to be quiet. I need you to just stop talking for a second. And she's just like intensely looking at the screen. And I just like, looking at, like looking for any sign on her face, like what, trying to read what she's looking at, because, or like what she's interpreting. And then she said, or is anyone here with you? And I said, no. And then she just like, I'll be right back. And she like swiftly left the room, and I'm shaking right now because I'm just like reliving it. And a swarm of doctors and nurses came in, and they were like looking at the monitor, and I just was like, I kept like, what's going on? What's happening? Like, is she okay? And then all I remember is like a nurse was like, she was like literally my angel at that moment, because she was like next to me, and she literally was squeezing my hand and just like holding me. And I was like, oh my God, like my whole life is gonna like change right now. I just knew it. I knew. Like my whole entire world is gonna be turned upside down. And then I heard one of the doctors say, I'm sorry, like, she has no heartbeat. And I said, no, that's not true. That's not true. She's fine. I checked her heartbeat last night and she's okay. Like, there's no way. Like, there's just no way, because I heard her heartbeat and I kept just saying it. And then she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, her, there's no heartbeat. And she like turned the monitor around and she said, this is her heart chamber and this, there's no heartbeat. Like, I just looked at it. I was like, that can't be right, because I just did a growth scan and I'm going through all these like things that just recently happened and everything was fine. Like everything kind of was telling me everything was okay. And I just was like, am I dreaming? And I just like this whole experience, I just felt like my soul left my body. Like just, it was just like such an outer body experience. And I felt like this has to be a dream. And I just remember like squeezing my hands and like, literally like anything I could do to like wake myself up. I just felt like I needed something to just like wake me up, because this isn't real. Like, this isn't reality. And then it was just got really quiet. And that one nurse, her name's Elizabeth, and she's just like holding me, and I was just screaming. And I just remember screaming and saying like, no, like this isn't real. And I was just like, my babies. And I just was screaming. All I remember is like screaming and crying. And then I had to have one of the nurses call my husband because I couldn't even talk. And then as soon as he got there, I mean, he said that he heard me in the background. Like, he didn't know exactly what was going on, but he heard me because she called like while I was right next to her. And so he got there, and I wanted to wait to have the conversation about what to do next, because I just like felt like I couldn't do it on my own. I just needed him there, and I needed his like presence and the support. Because I just didn't know if I could face that kind of conversation on my own. So that was October 18th, and then I ended up having, I had Whitney on the 19th. And I just remember going through it, and I just like a little labor, and I was just like devastated because I'm experiencing, like, it was just such a different experience that I had pictured in my head. I'm just like, I'm going through labor, but, and I'm feeling the contractions, and I pictured this, like, doing this with her and us doing it together and getting through the labor and the contractions, and thinking, like, it's like me and her right now, and this is like an experience that I'll have with her and I'll get to share with her later in life. And I was just thinking, like, I'm by myself, and like she's gone. I'm gonna have to do this on my own. And it just felt really like this isn't how it's supposed to be. This is not how I imagined my experience being. But so my husband was like a rock for me. He was completely like just calming and grounding and comforting person for me. And I could not have gotten through any of that without him. And I'm so thankful he was such a strong person, because I couldn't be in those moments. But we ended up having her on October 19th. And I just remember after I delivered her, the nurse had held her up, and I was looking at her, and I was like, she goes, here she is. And I was like, I can't look at her. I'm scared. I was just like scared of, like, as soon as I look at her, I'm just, it's real. Like, she's not going to cry. She's not going to move. And so I was like, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I can't look at her. And I just remember looking just at her, and I could see Whitney in my peripheral. And she's like, she's beautiful. Look at her. And I looked at her, and I just like took her in my arms. And I held her, and I just looked at her, and I was like, she's just looks like she's supposed to cry. She's gonna cry. Like, I was just hoping, like, for some miracle that would replace the moment of her not crying. Like, somehow, maybe they were wrong. Like, maybe they weren't. Maybe everybody was wrong. Maybe she's fine. But, and I was just like waiting for that moment, but it never, obviously never happened. But we got to spend time with her at the hospital. I had a doula come out, who I initially had a doula set up for the birth, but I decided to just have somebody come out and help me after I delivered Whitney. I just felt like it was just such a personal, like, too personal. I just wanted me and Justin to be the only ones present. And I said, you know, I wanted her to come though after, because I just felt like I needed all the support I could get. And she specialized in bereavement. And so she came out and helped me. I mean, it was just like, so surreal, and I don't really remember a ton of the, you know, the time at the hospital. I remember I, you know, gave her her bath, her first bath, and I just held her a lot. I was exhausted. I was so exhausted. I could like barely keep my eyes open. But I just like felt like I wanted to stay awake because I knew I couldn't take her home. I like had to leave her there. And I just was like, the moments are limited. So I wanted to stay awake, but I just like, I physically couldn't do it. I just had to sleep. But I you know, got to spend that time with her. And then I was like, I just told Justin, I'm like, how are we supposed to leave? Like, how are we supposed to walk out of here without her? And just knowing that she's there by herself. I physically, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And he's like, we're just going to take it one, like 1 second at a time. And we don't have to do it right now. And it's just like the unbearable thought that that was going to have to happen eventually, you know? And, I knew that, like, the only thing that really helped me get through that is that I knew I was going to be able to see her again at the mortuary. It obviously didn't make it feel any better, but it was just, like, the thought of the fact that, like, this isn't the last time I'm going to see her. It helped me get through that moment. And, like, the doula, actually, she offered to stay there with her. She said, I'll hold her. I'll keep her here and I'll hold her with, you know, while you leave, because I just like, for, I didn't want to leave her alone for 1 second. I didn't want her to be alone in the room. And so the doula said, no, I'm going to hold her and she'll be fine. I'm going to take care of her while you leave. And the nurse that helped me the day before, she was there too in the morning when I had to walk away. And she was just such a, like, I can't even, she'll always be someone I think back on and being like a huge part of my support during that time. And I'm just so grateful to have my doula that was there and the nurse that was just, I just like had this a connection with her. I don't really know what it was, but she was just felt like, she just felt like a sister to me. Like, I don't know. It was just this. She's like, I'm I'm having a hard time letting you go. She's like, I was like, I know, I don't. It was just like, I just felt like instantly she was like a family member somehow. But I feel like, you know, I got to the mortuary and we were able to see her and spend time with her there. And that was going through that whole process again of seeing her and holding her and physically being there with her. Like, I feel like the whole time it was just like a very outer body. I mean, I was just like dissociated completely from like reality. I just felt like there was this, I was in an alternate universe that I felt like, I don't know if you guys have ever read the book or watched the show Dark Matter. So it's about this guy that he invents. He basically has this really great life with his family, and he has, basically it's about alternate universes. Like, every decision that you make, you break off into another life, but it's, you still exist in that universe. And so every decision you make or every event that happens, it leads you on to like a different life, but you have like infinite number of lives that are, you're living right now in a different dimension, like different universe. And so I just was like thinking back to that. I was like, this is this. And so in the show, he's like, or the book, he in a different life, he actually invents this like machine where you could travel and find different versions of yourself in different lives. And so in a different life of his, he invented this tool. This guy took his life because, or put him into the time capsule to send him away because he made the mistake of choosing his career over the family that this guy had, that this version of himself had. And so he's like the guy that got taken away out of his life with his family. He's like going through all these doors to try to get back to his original life that he, you know, that was his life. He was stolen from him. And so he's like desperately trying to figure out, how do I get back to that life? And that's like kind of how it felt, where I was in this alternate universe, like dimension, that I was like, there's a version of me somewhere where Whitney's fine and I'm pregnant, still pregnant with her, and she's going to be delivered and she's going to be healthy and happy. And like, we're going to get that life with her and that chance. And I just was like feeling like, I feel like that guy that's trying to do whatever it takes to get back into that life. Like, you just feel so lost. You just feel so like this can't be real. So that's like the best way I could describe it, is just like, there's a version of me that's somewhere that is happy and everything's fine. And, you know, she didn't pass away. So
Sarah, I'm going to miss this, but when was this? You said October, but I might've missed that. What year was it?
October this year, or last year, this last October.
Oh yeah. My goodness, Sarah. Like, yeah. That just kind of like, I don't know how I missed that, but
yeah.
I have so many thoughts in my head, but I guess like, knowing how fresh it is, like I can't even process, because I've never been able to get pregnant, right? We've had our own infertility issues and we've never been able to actually get pregnant. And we've talked about this so many times on the show, but like, being able to put myself into your shoes, like, it allows me to realize, like, okay, like, I can get through my heart, right? Like, I cannot even imagine what you have gone through. And knowing that you are on the show talking about it, and it was just this last year, I mean, I was going to ask you how you're doing now, but I mean, I'm sure, I can only imagine like how many roller coaster of emotions you've gone through. And thinking that there's no woman that should ever have to bear a child and not be able to take them home. Like, it just gives me so much empathy for other women who have had to go through this. Like, I don't know. I don't have the words. Like, I'm kind of speechless right now, because I can't even put myself in that position. I can't. And I'm so sorry that you've had to go through that. Like, I'm so, so sorry.
Thank you.
Do they know what happened?
Yeah. So basically they can't tell exactly for sure, but just by the findings and the pathology with the placenta and the umbilical cord, they did find that there was a clot in the umbilical cord. I mean, they can't give me like a direct answer, but if that's what caused it, but it is like pretty certain, like all the signs are saying that that's what happened. So, when they looked at my placenta, it was like double the size of a normal placenta. And so if you make kind of like assumptions about that, it could kind of tell you that my body was over time overcompensating for like the potential lack of oxygen that she might have been getting. So my body was working really hard to get her the supply that she needed to be able to survive. So I think there might have been like a chronic thing happening. I mean, it's hard to say how long that was happening for, but and then there was a clot. So I feel like, for what I believe happened, is that everything, you know, my body was overcompensating, and that's why the large placenta. And I think a clot happened and my body couldn't help her at that point anymore. It was just, the clot could have happened from like a twist in the cord or a kink, like a kink, or she was squeezing it. It's really hard to know exactly why the clot happened, but that was the conclusion, I guess, that the idea of what could have happened, what the scenario could have been for her. But yeah, it was, I mean, I was thinking, I just felt like during the time I was in labor, I said something happened with the umbilical cord, like something happened with the umbilical cord. Like that's the only thing I could think of that could have caused that to happen. And I know the doctor said it happened really quickly. Like it was a quiet, just a very sudden thing that I couldn't have prevented or, you know, but I did go through the whole process of, why didn't I go in on Friday? Like if I had gone in on Friday, because I heard her heartbeat at that point, I could have maybe saved her life. They could have seen that she wasn't moving. You know, they could have picked up that something was wrong, even though she had a heartbeat that was in the normal range. It's like that, you know, guilt. And I know that that's part of the grief, like replaying and replaying and replaying all the events, like from what happened and what I could have done to have caused this, or what I could have done to prevent it, or what I could have done differently to save her. And those are a lot of questions I had. And it was just like a really, really dark time, like during that time where I had this immense amount of guilt that this is something that, even though like the report said it was something on her end, it wasn't like my body was doing what it could to keep her around. I mean, keep her alive. It still is like, it's inevitable. Like I couldn't avoid the questions that kept coming up, you know, and the different scenarios that could have happened if I had done anything differently. But, and I feel like I'm on the other side of that now. I know I don't have that guilt. I don't have that heaviness of, that there's something different I could have done. I kind of have let go of that feeling of just being in that. I felt like it was just like a prison of me. I'm just like keeping myself in this like prison of like blame and guilt. And I've done a lot of work, like just trying to get through that, those emotions and kind of the self-blame.
Because you're a mom. You're her mama, so you're, you know, we take that on, and that's, I think, very, very normal.
Yeah.
And you have every right to feel ways that you feel, because you're protective.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you first reached out, and it was, had seriously just happened a couple months prior, I was, inspired by your strength. And you know, we spoke on the phone, and you had shared with me a couple ways that she's been able to show up and kind of let you know that she's still here. Her name's Whitney. Had you guys named her already? Like, so you had her name?
Yeah, we had it picked out. We had her name picked out. We had like a name sign. It's still up on her wall in the nursery. But Whitney Lou was going to be, what is her name? Lou is my grandma's middle name, and we were going to pass that down to her. And she's definitely, I feel like Whitney's been a huge part of just my healing journey. I've always been open to, you know, and believed that there's like a veil, you know, there's spirit world, and we're a part of that world. It's just that we don't see it or feel it. But I feel like I've always had the belief that exists, that we have our loved ones and and people looking, still like looking after us and guiding us. But I never really had an experience like a death of somebody as, you know, within my immediate family. I had my grandparents had passed away, but this is just like another level of, I mean, it's your child, and it's just that there's no, like, you can't get any closer than that. And I feel like she's definitely shown up for me. I think what initially got me interested in connecting with her, was a book called Signs. And the author, I think, is Laura Lynn Jackson. I read that book, and it really teaches you how to keep those lines open with people that have passed on, and how to continue having a relationship with them. But it's just like in a different way. It's a spiritual way. It's not physical, though, not the type of relationships that we're used to. It's going to be a different relationship, but there is ways that you could still have that bond and that connection. Cause it just feels so like, you know, when you lose somebody in your life, it could feel really final, and it could feel like they've just disappeared, you know, easily. You could easily just feel like, you know, you'll never see them again. You'll never talk to them again. You'll never connect or feel like their presence again. But I just feel like that is not the case as far as I've experienced with Whitney. It's just been been very intentional. She's shown up for me in ways that I could have never imagined. And I just having that firsthand experience has been very reassuring that I you know, cause people could tell you their experiences, and it's like, you always have that question, like, well, you could make these connections because you're, you know, it's just maybe like coincidences, but your mind is like, wants you to believe that that's real. Like, you, I feel like the skeptic in us is always, you know, until it happens to you, until you have those experiences personally, that's when you really like, wow, like you're just blown away about like with what they can do for you and the things that they can show you. So I've been working with a therapist, and she's like, in the very first session, I think she told me to assign a symbol for Whitney and something that like could represent her. So I could like, when I see it, I could be reminded of her, and just in my daily life, just have something, you know, in the real world, like physical world, that I could still have as her like symbol. So I said, you know, I wanted her symbol to be a strawberry. Like, that was the first thing that popped in my head, a strawberry, because she had strawberry blonde hair. So I was like, okay, strawberries. And I just think it's cute, you know? And so I was like, all right, strawberry is her symbol. And then I started reading the book Signs and how it teaches you like what to do, how to reach out. So I said, there was a, you know, it tells you just ask for anything, like anything you want, just ask them to send it to you and they'll show up, they'll show it to you. And, that's how, and they're really good at it. So just trust it. So, I had actually previously seen a psychic medium, she's a soul baby medium, and she brought up that Whitney was showing her unicorns. Like, she's like, unicorns and snails. And I'm like, snails? Like, oh, that's so random. I don't know. Like, unicorns and snails. I just thought that was like a very odd selection. But I was like, okay. But I, you know, during this time we were about to go to a Christmas tree lighting in the local one. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to ask for something. And unicorns popped in my head. I was like, okay, I'm going to ask for a unicorn at a Christmas event. Like, let's see what comes of this. And so I was, you know, and this is all in my head. I talked to her. I'm like, hey, Whitney, you know, I really miss you. I wish, you know, this would be you know, you would be here, you know, with us. You should be here. Her due date was November 25th. And we were going out, it was like early December, you know, this would be something you would be a, you know, a part of with us. I just want to know like that you're still going to be a part of it tonight and to show me a unicorn. So I was thinking like, okay, I don't really know how this is going to, if it's actually going to happen tonight or whatever, like I'll just go with the flow. So we went out and we're walking around and I'm like looking for unicorns. I'm like, just my attention is just like, I need to look for unicorns because I'm afraid I'm going to miss it. And that's the thing about it. It's like, I feel like it's, you're scared at first because you're like, what if this doesn't work for me? Or what if it's not true? Or like, what if I miss it? What if she chose me, if it's here and I don't see it, like, and then I miss it and it actually is true. And then I don't know, you know? So I was just frantically looking around for something unicorn related. And we went into this, Robbie and I went into this big, it's like a huge store of ornaments. And there's like literally any type of ornament you could possibly think of. And I was like, okay, if anywhere is going to have a unicorn, this is going to be it. Like there's going to be a unicorn ornament. It's going to pop me in the face. Like I'm going to find it. So I'm like looking. And I'm just like getting really discouraged because I'm just like, there's just no, I don't see unicorns. Like I saw a bunch of other kind of mystical things. And I'm like, there's no unicorns. Like, I don't know if I feel like this was the only opportunity. And then something in my mind, like I feel like actually, you know, since I feel like when you hear voices in your head, like you feel like it's your thoughts, but I really honestly feel like they're your spirit guides or it's an energy that's interjecting. And because I remember feeling like in this ornament store, kind of like bummed out. And I was, and then a voice kind of came in my head, like, just chill. Like it'll happen. Like she'll show you, she's not going to let you miss it. She's going to show you, you just have to just enjoy the time right now with your family. Don't just stop focusing so much on the unicorns and just be in the moment. And when it happens, you'll know it and it'll be okay. Like just chill out. And I just remember thinking, all right, I'm going to listen to that voice and just, you know, it is important. I really, you know, this was a fun time with Robbie. Robbie really liked it. And I was just wanting to be more present. So towards the end of the night, we were heading into a bookstore. It was like the last store that we went into. Robbie is like excited. He loves books. I love books. And so we're just like, we go in the store and he runs straight to the back of the store. Like, I don't know, just beelines it. And like, there's a rack full of stuff, like random items, just nothing. There's no theme to it. It's just like random stuff. And he goes and reaches out and he pulls out strawberry scented unicorn erasers. And I never knew that scented erasers even existed. But the fact that like she put her symbol and like the specific thing that I asked for together, and then she had Robbie, she was not gonna let me miss it. Like Robbie's the one that found it. And he's like, look, mommy. And I was like, like literally dropped hit the floor. Cause I was like, I looked at it. I was like, my eyes were like literally bulging out of my head. I was like, is this for real right now? Cause I don't even know like how much more of a sign that could possibly be for him to pick out strawberry scented unicorn erasers. And then to the left of that rack of random things, there's a shelf full of unicorn themed items. And like, it was like coloring books and a little stuffed animal and pens and stickers and like just full of unicorns. And I was like, but the thing that Robbie found was the strawberry with the unicorns. And so I just was like, and Justin's with me and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, strawberry scented unicorns. And I was just like, I did not care. I was probably, people were looking at me, I'm sure, like, what in the world? And even Justin's like, what is your problem? Like, what's wrong with you right now? Why are you so excited about these erasers? And I was just like, I will tell you later. I just felt like I wanted to be in that moment of just like pure connectedness and like joy, and like I just felt like this is real. Like how does this happen, you know? So I just felt like the fact that she went through Robbie too is to get like to bring that to me, it was just like really, really special. And I eventually told Justin later that night after I was just like in such a I don't know. I was like on a high the whole like I mean, it was like weeks. I feel like I was on this like train of happiness and just like, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky like that I still get to like connect with her, you know. She's showing me that she's still here, and it's just such a comforting feeling that really changed. It just really honestly like pulled me out of this dark, dark space into this light, fun, and just like playful type of energy. So, you know, I was like, the first sign, it just blew me away. And then there was more after that, like a week later. I was like, you know, I want to make sure like this is actually Whitney, and I wanted it to be something like specific to her, you know, because I'm like, what if it's my spirit guides just trying, because you know that skeptic in your mind, like you're trying to
Oh,
like
yeah.
rationalize it, like what if it's just my spirit guides just trying to make me feel better. And that's like silly for me to think about, but I'm like, no, I want something specific to Whitney. So I was like, I want to ask for like just a W, like a big W, and just have it like just in my face. Like, I just want it, just a single W. I don't want anything else with it. And I was like, you know, thinking again, like, how is that going to come about? But I, you know, have a neighbor. She's like, hey, you know, let's go on a walk if you want. Like, let's go on a trail. She's like, what trail do you want to go on? So I told her which one I was like felt drawn to during that time. And this was like a couple of days after I asked for the W. And I start walking on the trail, and literally there's a tree that had fallen down on the trail, and like the two sides had been cut so that you could still walk across the trail. And the left side, that tree had a crack in it. Huge crack, and it was literally the shape of a W, like clear as day, like this huge, huge W on this log. And it was just like right at the beginning of the trail. Like, it was, and I just like gasped, and I was like, I have to take, oh, my friend, you know, she was with me. I was like, I have to take a picture of this. Hold on. She's like, okay. And I'm like, I'll tell you later. Like, I'll kind of explain a little bit more. And then every time we actually have gone on that trail a couple times, and every time we walk by that W, we touch it and say hi to Whitney. And it's just now it's like, I have somewhere local that I could go. I feel like go visit, you know, a sign of hers. And it just feels really reassuring. I just feel like there's just still a way for her to reach me, and for me to reach her. And it's just like this feeling of I don't have to let go of her. Like, there's still. She's still with me. Like, I physically can't hold her, and I can't watch her grow up like I thought we were gonna do. Like, you know, we didn't just lose her, we also lost the life that we thought we were gonna have, that we imagined, and the family events that we thought were gonna be, you know. It's an unimaginable amount of feeling of loss, but like during the times that like I feel like she's connecting with me is when I feel so much peace, and comfort. And if I didn't have that, I honestly, if I hadn't had these like very clear intentional signs from her, I wouldn't be able to talk about it the way that I am able to right now, I feel like. So
Well, I think that
really
Justin
special.
and you should go and take a chainsaw and cut that. We're gonna cut that
Want
out.
peace?
Take it home.
In your front yard.
Yeah, totally.
That did not come from angels among us.
No
I
one will
just
notice.
love that you are getting these signs from her. Like, how promising. And yes, the thought of those memories, like not being able to like be you know, with her in that, like, just being able to have these things, like, and I don't know, like, how awesome to know that you have that spirit angel with you, you know, like, for the rest of your life. And I mean, again, I can only imagine, like, but to think of, like, all of these things that she's going to be able to point you to. And I've heard it from other women who have lost children, like, it gives you hope of, like, or like a compass to return to her, like, and make you want to do as best as you can in this life to be able to return back to her, you know? I just love that you're getting these signs from her.
Yeah, and part of the hardest thing of life, this life, is going through things or experiencing things and not knowing why, right? There's no real good reason that anybody could give you, religiously or not, as to why you don't have her physically with you right now, right? There's no good answer to that. And that's something that you're not going to get an answer to, I don't think, in this life, right? For us, some of our trials, well, with infertility and stuff, we've been able to come to understand some of the why, and but not completely, right? But those are the things that, you know, we talk about it on the show, not being able to get those answers. That's when we need to rely on other people and have the angels around us lift us up and get us through, and, you know, be able to recognize God's hand in our life, the angels that are on the other side of the veil, you know, being able to feel that peace and that comfort in those moments. It alleviates some of the desires to know the why right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I mean, so there's nothing that I could say that will help you or comfort you at all, other than maybe this will give you some peace, is that I really believe that someday you will know the why. Yeah. And like I said, probably not in this life, but
right.
It will happen. You'll get those answers. And I think, I'd like to think that the why is way more beautiful than we can imagine.
I do feel like there's definitely these, you know, connections that I have with her make me feel like, you know, I do have something to look forward to. When I pass away, I'll see her again, and I'll have that understanding. And
I do love that the strawberry scented unicorn erasers. It's so cool that she used her brother
for that.
And she showed him, she's like, hey, come on, come get this. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that that's what happened. And for you, to be able to get that in that way, like that, there's no doubt that it was, that's really truly a sign from her, because you were sitting there looking and looking and looking for unicorns nonstop.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here's Robbie.
They say that, you know, these little kids are closer to the veil, you know? And so who knows, like maybe he did see her, you know, or, you know, had that prompting. So what a beautiful, beautiful feeling and thought.
Yeah. I just feel like I envision her like just like, I don't know, like lighting up that one thing, because he was just like zoomed in. It was like literally he had this, just like he saw it from across the store, like that was what he was wanting, and that was the one thing that was like standing out to him. It was just such a instinct for him to go straight to the back and pull that one thing off. It was immediately right when we got in the stores. And then since then, I feel like there's been a lot of other signs and things that have led me to making decisions about whether or not I should do something or not do something. I feel like I trust it. Now that I trust it, I can, you know, reach out whenever I want now that, you know, that I feel that trust that this is, that it'll be shown to me. Like I'll have an idea. They're going to like Whitney and my spirit team is going to be there to help guide me through my life and help me reach my goals and things like that. So yeah, I think, I don't know if you want another story or not, but this was one of the very first things before I started putting everything together that like the signs are real. This was something I just thought was coincidental, but I also, at the same time, I did wonder if it was, you know, Whitney, but I didn't have that. The unicorn erasers hadn't happened yet. So a couple months before Whitney passed, we had to put my dog down. She was really old and had a lot of health problems. And it was like a couple months before we lost Whitney. And it was really, really hard for me to like say goodbye to her because she was my girl. She was 14 years of her companionship. It was like at that point, the most difficult thing I'd ever had to experience. And then I lost Whitney right after that, just a couple months later. So, I just, you know, after you lose, I feel like when you lose a baby that you can't take home and you don't have that, you just feel like you have a void in your arms. Like there's just, you just feel so like there's a piece of you that's not here. You don't have anything to hold. Like your body is just in this, you're not connected to your mind. Like your mind knows what happened, but your body is like functioning as if you have a baby here. And so I just was feeling this like, and then I was thinking, you know, I wish Lexi was here, you know, Lexi, my dog, she helps me get through, like she's helped me get through the hardest times of my life. And has always been there. She was such a loyal dog. And I was just like missing her so much. I just felt like I could really use her cuddles right now, you know? And so I was thinking, I was just kind of like mindlessly scrolling on my phone and I came across a dog that looked exactly like Lexi and she was up for adoption. And I was like, I text Justin and I'm like, I miss Lexi so much. Like, look at this dog. It looks just like Lexi. And then he's like, and it took him like a couple hours, but he wrote back and he's like, you should apply for, you know, to adopt her. And I'm like, are you sure? Because we had talked about not getting any more dogs because we like to travel. It's hard to find. We have a dog already. So it's just hard to find a pet sitter that wants to take two dogs. And so it's just a lot of work. So we're like, let's just, you know, when Lexi passes away, we're just going to have our one dog for a while and kind of keep it that way. But he's like, you should apply to adopt her. And I'm like, are you sure? You know, we just said we weren't going to have another dog. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I think it'll be good. And then I applied for her and I never heard back. So I was super bummed about it. But then that just like literally started this search now for a dog. I'm like, I feel like I just feel like that was just what I needed to do. I was looking for dogs to adopt, but then that led into like looking for puppies because we have a toddler and I'm like, I don't know about adopting a dog. I love adopting dogs and I would if I didn't have a toddler. I just feel like it's a little bit, I feel nervous about it. You just don't know their background. And so I just wanted to be really, I just wanted to be careful about that. So, and I was thinking, you know, it'd be fun to get a puppy. Robbie can grow up with the puppy and things like that. And then I forgot to mention too, though, the doula that helped me at the hospital, I offered her, you know, money. I was like, hey, you know, I want to pay you for your support. Like it was something I want to thank you in some way. And she said, you know, I don't take any payments for this work. And she said, but if you wanted to contribute to like planting a tree on our property, it got destroyed by a fire a few years ago. And our property is like, we're trying to replenish it. So if you wanted to plant, like offer to, you know, buy a tree for us. And I was like, okay, you know, let's do that. I think that'd be beautiful to, you know, honor Whitney. So she's like, just let me know what tree. And I said, let's do a maple tree. Maple tree, I think is beautiful in October. It's just such a vibrant tree. in the fall time. So I just thought like that was my first instinct. So we planted a couple maple trees on her property. So anyways, going back to the dog search, I was like looking for puppies and ended up finding, we wanted a female. We ended up finding a litter of puppies that was just 5 minutes down our street. And I called her and I was like, hey, just wanted to ask about these puppies. It was the exact breed that I wanted. And I wanted a doodle mix because Lexi was a doodle. And I was like, you know, what puppies do you have available? She's like, I only have one left and it's a female. And I was like, oh, perfect. Like, can I go look at her and check her out? And she's like, sure. Yeah, come on over. So I go over there and with Justin and Robbie, and obviously fell in love with her, with the puppy. She was adorable. And I was like, you know, just curious, like chit chatting. And I was like, what did you guys name her? Like, because, you know, they have themes, you know, when they have litters. She's like, oh, this is our fall theme. And she's like, this is our fall like litter. And so we named them kind of like fall related theme or fall related names. And she's like, this one's Maple. And I was like, oh, I was like, oh, look, it's Maple. And I looked at Justin and I was like, I was speechless. I was just like, oh my gosh, like Maple. As soon as she said that, I was like, it just was a zing to my system. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, I mean, that's literally the tree that we just planted for Whitney. And I really honestly, now after all the signs that I've had so far with Whitney, and I was like, that was all coordinated from Whitney or like my spirit team or Lexi, you know, like I was supposed to see that picture that looked like Lexi to spark that like search. And then, which led me to Maple basically. And we got Maple, and she's been such a comfort, like just physical feeling. Like, I mean, obviously it's just, it was a very mix of emotions, honestly, because it was like, now we have this puppy when we should have a baby here, you know. It's just like this, like, because I was like questioning whether or not I should get a dog or a puppy, because I just felt guilty. Like, I don't want Whitney to think I'm like would ever like want to replace her. Like, it's just, it would make me sick to my stomach to think like, if she thinks I'm trying to replace her with a puppy, you know. But it was just like that feeling, I needed to nurture something. I needed something to like have in my arms and physically hold. And it was just something that I felt like I needed something like that to heal me and to help me heal, not to heal me completely, but just like help me get through this time. And for the, when she said Maple, I was like, okay, this is supposed to happen. I just felt like it's meant to be. This is what it's supposed to be. She's okay with me getting Maple. She's okay with me getting a puppy, and she understands I need this right now, and this is something that'll help me, and she wants me to be happy. I know that, you know. And oh my gosh, this dog is the sweetest puppy, and she's so attached to me. And she, at night, she sleeps with me, and she is just nestled on my shoulder every night, like just so comforting. And that just like feeling of, I don't know, it's just, she brought so much playfulness and like happiness and laughter, you know, when we've gone through this really difficult time of, you know, grief and sadness and depression. And then Maple comes along, and she's just, it's just like changed the whole vibe of the house. And it's just really fun to see Robbie interact and play with her. And yeah, I just feel like looking back on that now, knowing what I know now with the signs, that was all like played out by Whitney.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm going to ask for a little bit of advice, mm-hmm. Sarah. If there are people out there that are maybe a little bit skeptical on being able to connect with their loved ones, what's a little bit of advice that you can give them on how to just take the first little steps forward?
I would say that I feel like there has to be a certain level of trust, you know, just trust the process of, you know, go through your emotions of grief, go through what you need to like feel, don't bury that down, don't push it down. And then when you're able to open your heart up and open up that feeling of the possibility that you could have like that connection with the person that you lost or the person that you miss, to just trust that they're there and ask for a sign. And I honestly wouldn't have known where to start. I mean, I feel like the book Signs really helped me focus on what I could do to ask for that, or to how I could make that connection, because it just seems so abstract. It makes it a little bit more concrete and just a little bit more like a guide. So if anyone was interested in exploring that, then I would say start with that book and then trust it after that.
Great. Do you want to ask the last question?
Yeah. Well, first I just had the thought of just like how many, because like there's obviously, and who knows how many viewers, you know, are going to listen to this, but I know that there's so many women that have gone through this, and I think it's remarkable that this all is so fresh and you're willing to share. And I can already see like people just being so thankful that you were willing to share this. And who knows, like there could be another woman that listens to this and it just happened and she has no idea what to do or how to overcome, or a parent that, you know, their child went through this. And that's what I love about this show. And that's why we asked that question, because you could have saved someone just now, you know, like, and by you being willing to listen to, because Brent shared that you got the okay from Whitney, and, mm-hmm. you know, to come and share, and you listened, because you could have just, you know, been like, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's too fresh, but I'm so thankful that you did. So the last question that we have is, what is one thing that you know to be true? And it can be spiritual, it can be anything that you want to say.
I mean, I think just knowing, I think for me, my truth is that we are still connected, even though physically we can't see or feel or hear them. We're still, our souls are still connected to their souls. And there is a way for us to continue the relationship that we feel like won't happen or can't happen. I just feel like it's a different relationship. It's not going to be the same. It's not physical, like our physical relationships that we have here with other people, but it is still a relationship, and it's still something that is special. And yeah, so
love it.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Well, I am so grateful that you have that connection with her, mm-hmm. still. Yeah. And that,
thank you,
you've been able to trust it. Yeah, thank you for sitting with us. Thank you so much for sharing your heart, and for shining your light, and for shining Whitney's light also. We're so grateful.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Right. We'll let everybody go. Have a good night. Look for those angels.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.